Chrissy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm so excited to meet you. I can't even tell you. So, okay, so you're... Is Foy your real name? Your given name?
Yeah.
And where did it come from? Is it a family name?
It was... a guy that was very influential in my dad's life was a guy called Tommy Foy.
Oh.
Yeah. So his name was Tommy Best Foy. So I got...
Foy. I'm in Nashville right now.
Oh, yeah.
I bought a home here in February and came out to finish my album for a couple of weeks, and then quarantine hit. So we've been here ever since, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been almost 5 months. And, you know, we typically go back to the show This Is Us that I'm on NBC, and we don't know when we're going back to work. So who knows? I mean, it could be in a month. It could be next year. We don't know because of everything. So I'm here.
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
I know.
So tell me this. Yeah. I'm forgive my ignorance here. I don't watch a lot of TV.
No, I love it. I love it.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
That's okay. No.
But like, is it a musical show? Like, do you, because...
No, it's not necessarily a musical show. So it's... Gosh, I mean, I guess I could give you an elevator
pitch.
So
it is two different things. Like, you know, there's the actress and there's the singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I didn't ever auditioned to be a singer on the show, but my mother in the show, who Mandy Moore plays, who's obviously a singer and an artist for many, many years, they're like, oh, well, maybe we should have it that, you know, Kate sort of wants to follow in her mother's footsteps. And so I got a script once with, you know, an italicized song, and I was like, wait, like, it's an italics, like, it's a song, like, you guys want me to sing? And they're like, yeah, but if you don't feel comfortable, don't worry, like, we'll just have somebody...
You're thinking... Fuck yeah.
I'm like, please let me sing. Like, I want to just give me a try. And because music was always my first love, but I was really petrified to ever really do it. And I don't know how you've ever felt. I don't know if maybe you just came out of the womb and you're like, I'm ready. But I was like, it was just not very encouraged or supported. And so I was always really afraid of it. And so, interestingly enough, playing the character that is sort of an aspiring singer, but like, you know, making like house calls and like not doing anything exciting as far as music goes because she's, you know, struggling mentally, emotionally. It's helped me to feel better in my skin to wanna then, of course, actually take the leap and and do my own music. Because and not for anybody else, right? But it's just for myself. And that's even scarier because I'm like, oh, I'm not hiding behind a character. This is just me, and here's my heart, and oh my God. So they've sort of informed each other, but luckily.
Yeah, I was just thinking, know. that must have been a good role they've got.
Oh,
you
know,
to kind of sort of spur you on, like, oh shit, hang on, if she's doing it.
Yeah.
If my character in a show can do it.
Yeah. Why can't I give it a go? Yeah. And like, give it a go because like my heart needed it. And I've always just wanted to do it. And I always say this, but like, ain't nobody want to sing shoulda, coulda, wouldas. You know, like, I'm just not interested. So, so here I am. I mean, Diane Warren wrote a song that I sang for the end crawl title of a movie that I was in. And then, of course, it was nominated for an Oscar and I got to sing at the Oscars. And I was like, what in the hell is going on with my life? And then luckily, you know, in the meantime, Cindy Mabe at Universal talked to me about would I ever want to like actually have a record deal. And I was like, you're talking to a big girl from a small town. Hell yes, I want a record deal. Like, what, are you kidding? And I never thought that was going to be possible. But and then playing the ACMs with all those lovely ladies and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I feel songwriting is one of the most magical things in the whole world. To, like, have 4 hours in a room with maybe some strangers and maybe some friends, but to come out of it and have something that never existed 4 hours ago. I think it is the most amazing thing. And the way that it all unfolds and just the creativity, and it's magical to me. So
it is wild, isn't it? Magical is a good word, actually.
Yeah.
Magical is a good word.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Even when you're, you know, even if you're the one that gets that line.
Yeah.
Or the one that gets that turn for, you know, whatever it is, you know, little chord turn of the, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, where did that come from?
I know. Downloaded from the heavens. I know, because I'm like, who is that? Like,
yeah. or uploaded from the earth, who knows?
100%. Yes, 100%. That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm giving it a go.
Yeah.
Giving it a go.
Well, that's it. That's all there is to it. So am
yeah.
I.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean? So are we all that, you know, I don't expect anyone to like, loathe, love, or hate, you know, my next record or anything I ever do. I do it because it makes, you know, I'm on a journey and I'm really enjoying it.
Right. Right. You know, and I mean? That's so, the thing. When you enjoy it, other people enjoy it. You know, I think yeah. so much we do, or at least for me.
Well, some of them, not yeah. all of them.
Wow.
As we found. you need only go on to Instagram for 20 minutes to find
please.
That out.
Please. I'm like, it doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't. It's like, and I get it. People feel very safe to talk all kind of smack, you know, when you can't see them in their face. I'm like, would you say that to my face? Would you say that to my face? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I'm not confrontational at all, but I am a tough girl, and I will.
All right.
Yeah. Like, my mom, literally, I'll never forget, she would always say to me, don't start a fight, Chrissy, but you can finish one. I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
All right.
So I'm just, you know, put my dukes up. But I can't engage with people who are hateful or just insensitive and rude. I can't. I imagine you to be songwriting it every single second of every day. Like, you're in the kitchen and you're like thinking of a song. You're like
that's
taking kinda, your kids
that's
to school.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets in the way a lot. It gets
does
in the way
it?
A lot.
Aww.
It does, yeah. But you know what? Not much has changed. You know, my daughter and I were looking through my old school reports a while back.
Aww.
When we come up here, we're clearing out in this room. And every last one of them just said, you know, could do better if you just stop daydreaming, you know, like if he's a smart enough kid, but just needs to focus a little bit more, you know. I just
oh, I love that. That's a song right there. Could be better if he could stop daydreaming. Like, that's so I love that so much. But like I mean, that well, school schmool, whatever, you know. I obviously it's very important for many reasons, but I think it's more important to daydream and be imaginative.
Oh, listen, people learn in different ways, you know. I'm
exactly.
such a kinesthetic learner, you know.
Yes.
School and me didn't really wasn't the best learning ground for me.
But
music was, and music has been and has always been, you know what I mean.
Do you have siblings that are musicians? Okay.
No, not that are musicians.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, like two up from, I've got three older brothers.
Oh.
Like Colin, he used to play the trumpet and a bit of the quad drum. We lived in America for a while, and he was in like the band, you know, playing the quad drums, you know that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Where were you in America?
Canton, Oklahoma.
How'd you end up in Oklahoma?
Well, my dad was a My dad was a preacher for the Church of Christ. And,
wow.
He went out to America. He was had a church in Belfast, and he went out to America, I think, to raise funds, probably, I would have thought. And out when he got out there, you know, they said, you know, there was a little this little town that they were looking to build a church in. Would he be interested in, you know, coming out and, you know, and being there and actually building it? He actually got involved in building it because he was handy that way.
Wow.
Mad little town. I visited there a while back with my wife and my daughter. My boys weren't born then. And, you know, even 36 years later, the town has grown exponentially. There's now 600 people there, I think, now. So I can't imagine what it would have been like in, what was that? That would have been 75 we moved there. You know,
to go from
Belfast to, you know, red dirt and hot sun.
Yeah. Know, oh, yeah. It's hot.
Must have been wild.
Yeah.
For my mom, must have been in just a tailspin.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. So do you think that you've gotten like your influence, like gospel influence or any of those from the way that you were raised?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. But like when I say gospel, that to me is a very, you know, that's an old word.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's an old word, you know what I mean? It's you know, songs that were, you know, songs of hope that were sung by people who had no hope in sight.
Yeah.
That's gospel. You know, that's real gospel, not and forgive me, you've got Nashville fans, so I'm sure I'm going to offend a lot of people. But it does weird me out that there are people write, you know, these Christian songs today, you know, the Jesus is my homeboy type thing, and then make a fortune off it. You know, if you believe in God, which I don't, just to be clear, but
yeah,
if you do, it just seems odd to me that, you know, you could, you know, leading people into the presence of God and then buying a swimming pool with it. You know what I mean? It feels a bit.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think that when you can do anything, it's always about your intention behind it.
Yeah. So, you know, the intention behind those songs, when gospel music that was written with no dream of anything other than the need to do it. And the need to express and the need to let it out, you know, the need to abandon yourself and give it all up.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That kind of gospel music had a huge impact on me. Do you know the premise of this show then?
No.
Well, the Vinyl Supper is kind of like, it's what, I always think of it as like the Final Supper, but.
Right.
Is that too morose for you? I don't know. Should we just have it like a Friday night supper? I don't know.
Nah. You keep to what you want.
a vinyl supper. So the idea is you get it, you know, it's like something's happened. You know, the world's going to implode tomorrow. A cosmic hoover is going to come and just, we're going to be gone.
Right.
And we all know about it. And we decide we're going to sit down, we're going to have a meal. And it's like, what do you have for starter? What do you listen to while you're having that? And then you have a main. And what do you listen to while you're having that? And then you have dessert. And what do you listen to while you're having that? Okay, I'll go first. What would I fancy for a start? If I was sitting down right now, changes every week, but there's some staples. You know what? Here's a staple that I could have morning, noon, or night. Pizza.
Oh.
Sourdough base, preferably.
Yeah.
Nice and thin, but nice and crisp.
Yeah.
And just a margarita classic, you know. Just
yes.
Tomato, buffalo mozzarella, a little bit of basil.
Yeah.
And I maybe have, just one of those. I'd have those. I'd have one of those for a starter.
Yeah.
And if it wouldn't annoy everyone in Italy, I'd maybe put a wee bit of chili oil on top of it.
Oh, yum!
As long as my final supper isn't being filmed,
right,
and broadcast in Italy, I think I'll be fine.
You don't want to go down in infamy putting chili oil on your pizza.
No. Hey, no. Do you know what I mean? That would be
What did he put?
Sacrilege.
What? Sacrilege. On a margarita? Yeah.
And I'm going to listen to... what am I in the mood for? You know what? A bit of Randy Newman. I'd listen to... maybe Political Science. You know what I mean? If the world's going to... If we're going to get, you know, sucked up by this cosmic hoover...
Yeah.
That would be a good starter song, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of, one of my dear friends makes an artichoke dip that is just, it's so simple, but it's so delicious that I feel like I got to start with artichoke dip.
Yeah.
It's so good. I can eat the whole thing by myself. And it just always makes me think of like a dinner party. And, but if I had like a song to choose, it might be Uptight, Stevie Wonder.
How to say?
I just love him. And then I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, would I go down the Motown route? Or would I want to like, would I save Bob Marley to the end, right? If I'm going out, maybe I want to go out with Bob.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, if we actually had to choose this, it'd be hard, wouldn't it?
This is tricky. Yes, I was like, he just threw me for a loop with this. And I have to say, as American as it sounds, I do love a cheeseburger and french fries.
Oh, hell.
Listen. Oh, my God. Or a good burrito. Oh.
No, listen, I would hear you on that for a man, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You know what? Yesterday, my daughter turned 17, Ella.
Oh, happy birthday to her.
Yeah. So we're kind of... because we're sort of in lockdown, you know, she couldn't have a party with her mates or anything, so we went camping, just her and I, and it was the best hang. It was such good crack, but the point is, it really reminded me how good a burger is, because we just I just, you know, burger, just a hamburger.
Yeah.
And then we had some sausages and, you know.
Yeah.
What more do you need than that when you're How sitting, sweet. You know, sitting out in the wild, the sound of the river going by, phone doesn't work.
Yeah.
You got a burger in your hand, your hands are dirty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's a good burger.
Yeah. Also, I think, you know, how often do we ever just sort of sit out and like enjoy what we're actually eating and actually taste it? Mm. Right? Like we're always in a hurry to do something else or like, oh, the next food's coming or whatever. And,
well, do you know what? With that in mind, then let's not rush into our mains. Then I'm not going to pick a burger yet because we've only just had started. We're just getting to know each other here.
Right. True.
I'm kind of intrigued to know one thing that you said earlier because you said, music was the first love, but then you fall into the acting thing, and then you're in a show that's doing really well. And I'm thinking, well, how come you had the confidence to go down this acting route that wasn't even really the main drive? It sounds like or music was the real passion, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did you have the guts to do that and not music?
You know, it's interesting. So I grew up in Gainesville, which is a small town in North Central Florida. And I was a Navy brat, so I lived in Japan for 9 years, and I like never really felt like I belonged. Oh, this is my home, or this place is my. Mm-hmm. And I learned to acclimate very quickly. You know, I went to 5 different elementary schools or lower grade school. I don't know what you guys call it, but like K-5. And so I had to always make new friends and make them quickly if I wanted to feel comfortable. And I was always really, really comfortable with being uncomfortable. I had a bit of a tumultuous childhood. My parents divorced and my mom remarried to my stepfather. And, you know, it was tricky. It was a tricky time and situation. And then my sister heard about an open call. And so we went to literally, it's like this little hotel in our town. And I was just going to take her as a guardian. And in my heart, I was like, oh my God, this could be like my chance to get out of here. But like, I never really had the courage to ever like raise my hand and speak up. And so there was a woman sitting across from me filling out paperwork. And she's like, oh, I taught at your high school. And I'm like, in what department? She's like, in theater. I was like, I wasn't in theater. So I was too afraid to be in theater. I'm just here with my sister. And she's like, I think you're here for a reason. And I'm like, okay, crazy lady, sure. And then I turn around and I don't see this woman ever again. I ask, I'm like, do you guys see the lady in the hat? Blah, blah, blah. People are like, no, we don't know. I'm like, what? So who knows if it was a guardian angel, if it was something that I made up, right, to like soothe myself or to like give myself that vote of confidence. I don't know. But my sister comes out of the audition room with the manager at the time who was holding the call, the open call. And she's like, what do you do? And I'm like, and at the time I was teaching preschool and I was always entertaining my family. I was like the entertaining diplomat, like trying to make everybody feel better and not feel any feelings or whatever it was. Or maybe I wasn't trying to feel any feelings. Yeah. So she's like, well, do you want to act or sing or anything? And I was like, in my heart, I was like, get me out.
Okay,
but I just was too afraid to say anything. And my sister's like, you sing? Yes, you do. And anyway, lo and behold, I end up auditioning for her. And she's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like,
fair play to you.
What's that?
Fair play to you. Yeah. It means good on you.
Good on you. Okay, yeah, okay.
Cute. Yeah, good on you for what do you think flicked that switch then that you did decide to go, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to sing even though I didn't come here for that? That's quite a...
Yeah, I think because like in my heart I was like, I want to like at least try, and I didn't think that I would always be in Gainesville, and not because I thought I was too good or any of that. It's just that I thought I had a different path. And so then with this woman who I never saw again, who was like, I think you're here for a reason. And then the lady, you know, who I became my manager very shortly after said, I think, are you sure you don't want to sing or act or anything? And then my sister sort of nudging me. And it's like, you know, we all need somebody to believe in us until we believe in ourselves, or at least for me. And I think it was just sort of like a culmination of desperation and like interest and like just a pure love for music. I didn't know where the heck it was going, but I was like, I can't stay here forever. And I don't know really where that came from, aside from my maybe intuition, my soul, my spirit, I don't know. But I then ended up going out to do a showcase, found an agent, and then moved out to LA with six girls in a two-bedroom apartment with air mattresses.
What?
And I was basically taking people on auditions, working for my manager because I didn't have many auditions. And I wasn't.
And what age are you at this stage?
I was 21.
Right.
Yeah, 21.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. And, you know, like I was footing my own bill and I had to have a job to stay out there. Everybody else was sort of, all their parents were paying for their room and board, mm-hmm. and my parents could never afford
that. Wouldn't
that
be lovely?
Yeah. I know. What is
Wouldn't
that?
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Golly. So I ended up staying out there and just trying to make ends meet in odd jobs. And then my agent said, oh, I need an assistant. So I became her assistant for 9 years. And then I became my own agent. And so I took this massive detour of like, okay, all right, I guess I'm going to learn the business behind the desk. But like, I was like, maybe the universe is trying to tell me that like, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe I'm supposed to help people and not necessarily be in front of the camera, or, you know. But when I started getting into the acting thing, it was, I think my manager just was like, yeah, why don't we stick to comedy? Let's stick to TV, you know, film. And I don't know why that was. I don't know if she didn't think that I had the chops to sing. I don't know if she was living vicariously through me. I don't know what it was necessarily, but it did really sort of diminish that light that I had, you know.
But then again, you had another moment where you thought, fuck it, I'm going to change this, and you became your own agent then?
And then I became my agent's assistant and became an agent. And then, but then all of that got, like, even the acting got pushed to the side because I was focusing on my own clients. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not what I came to Los Angeles for, you know, like 9 years. And but then a producer that I'm very friendly with, a close friend of mine, said, you have to learn to carry a crown before you can wear one. And I was like, oh, that's what all that was. All that incredible experience and everything that happened for me and not to me. And, you know, I don't even understand how my life is on paper. It doesn't make sense. Like, I didn't get to go to an art school. I didn't come from a, you know, family that could support me and encourage me. And I just think the universe is working, you know. I think it always works on our behalf, you know, if we choose to see it. And that's...
Go that way, yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Behind every little modicum of success, there's always a graft story, just a hard work story, you know, someone that just didn't let loose, someone that didn't give up, just worked harder than everyone else, you know, adapted, changed, moved to LA, you know, started working for the agent. Ah, fuck it. I have no, you know, like just no ego in it. Like, we just need to get the thing done and move on and get going. Yeah. No ego in it. That's a key.
Literally have to put that aside. Yeah. Literally. I mean, I've seen, you know, ego kill a lot of people's talent. And I never thought that I was like uber talented. I was just like, let me get out of my own damn way. Like, please let me get out of my own way. Cause, if it was my ego's time, I would have been wildly famous and successful 20 years ago. But that wouldn't have been good. That wouldn't have been right for me, you know? So.
Sounds like you were successful enough.
Yeah.
Look at the origins of the story, and you know, I always felt like that, you know, that coming up, people going, oh, you should be doing this, and you should be on the radio, and you should be doing the other, and you should be. I was saying, yeah, maybe I should be, but like, I'm enjoying this. You know what I mean? I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying writing. I'm enjoying the going and gigging. Well, I was then anyway. I'm not so fond of touring anymore, but you know. But then I really kind of. I don't know, I always used to say this, I'm already successful. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm covering all my bills are covered at home, and then some, you know, enough money for a bottle of wine at the weekend or whatever. Not a bottle of wine probably every night, I would have thought at one point. but you know, like, that's, you know, what is your definition of success?
Yeah, Right.
I think our definition of success has been so skewed by, you know, this external media beacon, you know, this kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of try and tell you what you're meant to be and what you're meant to think and what it's meant that, you know, oh, success is being rich and powerful. And it's like, fuck, no.
No.
Why is that the only... definition of success.
I know.
I know some very successful poets.
Right.
And very successful stone wall builders.
Right. Know, right.
Pretty local.
Right. Right. You know. I was like, wait, when's your birthday? What sign are you?
Guess.
God, that's a hard guess.
I'm thinking what sparked the question.
I always like to know. Even when I was an agent, I'd always ask people what signs they were. I really am into astrology and stuff. Yeah. I would want to say Virgo, but I don't think that's right.
I'm waiting for you to say. Are you saying Virgo or are you not? This is an Americanism that I'm not that I can never get my head around. You know, I want to say Virgo. I'm thinking, do you want to say Virgo or are you saying Virgo? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, okay. Do you know where that shop is? That coffee shop? I want to say it's down the block down there. I want to say 2-3 lefts. You know,
what that means? It means like I'm not sure, but that's what I want to say. But in the event that I'm wrong, my ego needs to. Yeah. It's like I don't want to be wrong. So
okay, don't never mind. If you want to say it, say it. You want to say Virgo, or you want to say a different one?
I'll say Virgo because it came to mind first, but it doesn't mean it's right.
I'm Scorpio.
You are? Wait, what day is your birthday?
18th of November.
A Scorpio.
Is that good or bad?
Interesting. No, I think that Scorpios, from what I know.
You want to read that now? Are you going to start reading?
Listen, no, I'm not saying I know anything. I'm not a drop in the bucket, but like, Scorpios are very passionate. They can be not territorial. But
I do pee outside a lot.
Perfect. I knew it. I mean, it's fascinating. Astrology is fascinating.
Yeah, no, it is. I know it's not. Yeah. It's not horoscopes. Not that nonsense. Not the next week. Next week you're gonna come into money, or you might not. But money's gonna be involved, and you're gonna meet somebody.
Yeah.
And then
you might talk to a human.
Yes. You know it's. Yeah. Just
no, it's funny. The charts of like where everything was aligned at the time you were born and all that. And where
were you born in
Belfast?
I was born in Bangor, County Down.
Yeah. Where's that from where you're at now?
It's about 13 miles outside Belfast, but I'm in Scotland at the minute. I'm living in Scotland in Aberfeldy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right. And did you move to Scotland for a particular reason?
Do you know what? I moved to Scotland because I'd been living in London for... about 7 years. I was living in London for 7 years, and I just didn't really... I loved London, the city. It's a great city, but to live in it was just, you know, like being in a washing machine a little bit, you know, because I would have to go on the road to, you know, to try and take every gig I could get to try and pay for this London dream that I couldn't afford, you know, and it just kind of... I was working harder and getting... you know, not getting as far and getting more and more in debt and not being able to kind of carve out a path, you know, and I was thinking, whatever I was, 36, 37 or whatever at the time, was thinking like fuck this. I need a bit more clarity. A bit more clarity. I can't just go around in this washing machine all the time, just doing things that need doing. I need time to sit down and, you know, because for me to write, I need a lot of silence. I need a lot of space and quiet to be left alone.
Right.
For a while.
Yeah.
And I got offered a gig up here to come up and stay. You know, they said, we'll put you up in this little tower and you do a little gig in the local gallery. And my wife at the time was, you know, it was actually her show. She was asked to come up and put her work up. And then when they heard that I sang, it was like, you know, bring him too. And he, you know, he can sing and we'll put you up in the tower or whatever. The White Tower, incredible spot. So I come up to Aberfeldy from London and come over the hill from Crieff, and just Aberfeldy's in a valley, and it was in its autumnal glory, you know, just reds and gold and burgundies and the smoke coming out of the chimneys. And before I'd even set foot in the town, I'd fallen in love. You know, it was like driving into Narnia or the Shireling, you know. You know, yeah. Hobbiton. Well, it was just so, it was so overwhelming. I remember saying in the van going, I could live here.
Yeah.
I could live here. And then we spent about 3-4 days here. And I left saying, I'm moving here. I'm moving here. Took me, I think, a year and a half and a broken marriage, but I got here.
Listen, sometimes things, you know, happen the way that they do, you know, but you have to...
Let's not forget about dinner.
Oh, yes.
What are we going to have for dinner? Now you know the rules of the...
Yes.
Or the concept of the Final Supper. What?
Well, I feel like if... I mean, my gosh. I love Mexican and I love Italian food. But I also love Greek food, Lebanese, Persian. I mean... Just good food.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a really hard... question for me. I probably would have a smorgasbord of just, listen, if we're going out, we're going to go out with the bang. I'm eating every single thing and anything the hell that I wanted to eat in one. Yeah. I'm literally going to have cheeseburgers, French fries, kebabs, rice, tzatziki, like all the things. I couldn't choose. And
do you know what? Anderson East was quite the same, actually. He had oysters. He had oysters and a Big Mac, and so I can't remember what else he had. Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't see. I think, you know, it's a if it did wouldn't matter of what you're eating and how much of it you're eating. Yeah. I'm like, give me a full on spread of everything. That's terrible.
The
for
The Hoover's
me,
coming.
Me. Yeah. If it's coming, I'm going
down. The Hoover
down.
Of God. God's cleaning up. He's going, let's get rid of that one. They're making a fucking shitstorm down there.
And like, I'd want to listen to something maybe very, like, I think I should listen to something classical. Like, I love Peter Gregson, who is an incredible composer. But I don't know. I might be like, wanting to party. Listen to some like... I don't know, some 90s like hip-hop.
I don't know, that sounds like good food. When good food like that comes, I mean, my mouth's already watering the thought of that cheeseburger and the fries, you know.
Yes.
And tzatziki for the chips, you know, your fries.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, come my God. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe so a wee good. Milkshake there for the fries. Oh, for the fries too.
Yeah.
Milkshake and fries is good. You want to be just, classical. I can see that. I can do that.
You know, I feel like he's just a beautiful composer.
Party with dessert. Do you know what? I think I was sort of feeling tapas.
Okay. But
do you know what? I am going to go tapas, actually. I am going to go tapas. I'm going to have, papas ayugadas. You know, the salty spud, the salty potatoes with the salsa verde and the salsa roja little dips. And some of that chorizo in the red wine. It's all reduced. And the gambas, pil-pil or alajillo, whatever they are, you know, the little... Come the ones that sizzle and they come out, you know, they lift the plate off and they're sizzling. You dip the bread in and into all that. Do you know what? That and maybe, is it estofado or something? I think it's like a stew, it's incredible. I would probably that, like a smorgasbord. That's my version of a smorgasbord for my dinner. I would listen, I would listen to Every Which Way But Loose. You ever seen that movie?
No.
And there's a song in it that I believe Charlie Rich, I think, sang it. I'll wake you up when I get home. You won't mind what time it is. You don't know that song?
No.
I've been gone for much too long.
No, I don't.
I'm your man and you're my woman. I'll wake you up when I get home.
Oh, wait. I think I do know that song. Also, I'm so excited that you sang. This is like this has made my day. I'm like, please, 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 please sing the song.
It's a killer.
I always kind of judge people. I'm like, do you like Bob Marley? And if they're like, oh, I'm like, we're not friends.
We're not
on the same page, boo-boo.
No, I had a huge phase with him, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like most songwriters do, you know.
Yeah. I did a project in school, in middle school, everybody else was choosing like athletes and, you know, very famous rich people. And I chose Bob Marley, and everyone's like, Chrissy, are you on drugs? My parents, they're like, Chrissy, are you doing drugs? I'm like Rastafari. I'm like, no, yeah. No.
You go, fuck, like, I wish.
I know. Yeah. Give me that one. No, I am. Yeah. It was very funny. I'm like, no. Like, it's not all about just smoking weed. It's so funny, like, people's perceptions of what they don't know.
Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah, no, his lyrics, his word, his intent, you know, like, yes. It was articulate. It wasn't, you know, I'm loath to call them lyrics because they're just the flow of something for him, you know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't like he was sitting crafting a song in the way people do now, you know what I mean, to try and get the whatever.
Right.
Fucking nothing to do with that. We're back to gospel there. We're back to the reality, back to the, you know, the blood and guts of it, right? He's the one on the ring, kind of just getting all, just... There can't be any, just anything that doesn't belong there in that space can't be there, because he had one vision, right? One kind of...
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, he's an incredible man, incredible inspiration to me too.
Yeah.
But still, I'm not going to pick him, because if we're going to be... We're sort of here together. This Hoover's coming. We're there together.
That's true. And
true. I might dip over and pick on some of your fries and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I get to hear all these songs as you're playing them. So that's okay.
Right.
So what am I going to have for dessert? What am I going to have for dessert? You had a nice warm cookie, that kind of, maybe something. I had tapas, didn't I?
You're very thoughtful, very pensive.
Yeah, well, it's important. This is important. You know what I mean? It's the last thing I ever eat before the Hoover comes.
Right. And now I'm thinking, have I made terrible decisions? This is the story of my life, though. I second guess everything.
Listen, a chocolate chip cookie listening to One Love by Bob Marley? What?
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for that.
That's a great way to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to have coconut ice cream, actually. And lots of it, but like the freshest coconut ice cream, not just kind of, you know, like the, you know, the cheap corner shop down at the bottom coconut ice cream with coconut flavoring,
right?
You know what I mean? Just a big spray of coconut flavoring in there. Not that kind of coconut ice cream, like kind of like a coconut sorbet, you know, that sort of just melts in your mouth.
Yes.
And but doesn't melt until I want it to, because I do like it when it melts a little bit, but I want to eat a lot of this shit, so I want it to melt when the bowl gets to about there, and then it can start melting, and then you can do the mix in bit at the end.
Right, so you can do this, And do you have anything on top of this?
Lime, and I'm not going to pick Harry Nilsson lime in the coconut. I picked that already. But I do love lime. It's just incredible. Maybe that's why I wrote the song. I would just squeeze a bit of lime over that once in a while, yeah.
Oh, I've never had that.
I mean, I've never had the one that's in my head either.
Right.
But I want that, but I really want to. It looks incredible.
You manifest it. It'll happen.
I imagine it's going to taste incredible when this Hoover comes. And what would I listen to? On the way out, you know what? I would listen to Bill Withers, Grandma's Hands, but the version from live at Carnegie Hall, you know.
I haven't heard the live.
That's the one where he gives the intro, you know, about going to church with his grandma.
Oh,
you know,
I haven't heard. I'm going to look that up.
Oh, listen to that immediately. Honestly, the whole album is incredible. I mean, that man is incredible.
Yes. Yes, he was.
The intro to that is fucking hilarious too. It's genius and so sweet. It's everything. Mm. It's everything you want Bill Withers to be.
Right.
There you go. He is that. Yes, he is this fucking cool, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he is this, he is this guy. So I listened to that.
Why that song? Did you have a relationship with a grandmother or a...
I did, yeah. Both my grandmothers were very sweet to me. Yeah, I've got very fond memories of both of them.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that was often, it often involved ice cream. You know, if we'd be going down to Malyle, which is this sort of seaside town, there was a little shop there we'd always get ice cream from. And cute. The sentiment of that. Listen, I love the idea of a heaven. It'd be great, and if that my granny was there, that'd be even better. So if I could just even pretend for a minute while I'm listening to that she'd be up there shaking a tambourine. Although my granny didn't shake a tambourine, she sang. She sang a lark, like a lark. Yeah, beautiful voice.
Oh, I love that.
And insisted on it all the time.
Yeah.
She embarrassed the shit out of my eldest brother, Easton. He was having a housewarming party with all his mates. They would maybe be 23, 24, or something like that. Maybe a little older. There's loads of them. They're all drinking. And before my granny went there just to say hello and pay her wishes. And Easton was like, oh, this is lovely, introducing to everyone. And they're all sort of on their best behavior while granny's there, sort of waiting for her to go so they can get back to drinking. But then she said, no, I can't leave without giving a song. So she had to get up on the stairs and sing to them all. You know, like a welcoming gift for you moving into this house. Isn't that beautiful?
I think it's beautiful. I'm sure he was mortified.
He was mortified. He was going, fuck's sake, man. Can you get out so we can get drunk?
Yeah, right. Oh. Okay, well, dad duties. Do you love being a dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's tough.
Not easy. Yeah.
It's tough enough.
Yeah.
But definitely worth it.
Yeah, one of my friends definitely said that having a baby is like having your heart live outside of your body. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't know. That's if I funny. Want kids.
I described it the other week as having your heart kicked and massaged daily.
Just and that too.
Smack.
Yeah, I think that's probably like that. More accurate.
Yeah.
It can be.
It can be when you're a creative and you're a daydreamer and you want your head to go off, you know, like we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to, you know, because it's about a regime. And that me saying this makes it sound like I've got that regime down. I'm talking to myself here. It's a regime I need to get. You know what I mean? It's a real struggle. It's a struggle all the time to try and make it, you know, balance art and the art of home, you know?
Yeah. Everything is balance.
Fuck's sake.
I know.
Why can't we just have a bit of imbalance for once?
I know. It's funny. I was married to a man who was from Sheffield, and his parents obviously were from York. Well, not obviously, but they were from Yorkshire. And so it's so funny because sometimes when I have to really hear, like listen to what, I mean, obviously your accents are very different, but when we were talking about food, I remember when they first came over and they were like, cheese on a beef burger, and they couldn't wrap their head around a cheeseburger, and I was like, it's my favorite thing. I'm like, please try it. And they're like, nah, not for me, love, nah. And
cheese
on a beef burger. So good. But I love accents, so it's just been fascinating to hear.
Yeah, they are fascinating. You're good at them. You've clearly got the singers, they say singers do have a tendency to pick up accents a little easier.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I
don't know why I keep pointing at my ear like that's going to describe it. Look,
because that's going to show ear. You.
There's
that's
what I'm talking about there.
It's where the sound comes in.
Let me shush a second. Listen to this. You get it?
Perfect. Yes, I got it now. But yeah, I mean, I've actually never even been to the UK, which is a travesty.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I got some things to do whenever we can get to doing them again, but...
Well, listen, if, as, and when that happens, depending on what happens in the world, whether we get hoovered up or blown apart,
golly.
If ever you're here, you've a place to stay.
Thank you.
Yeah, holler at me.
Oh,
but as for now, I better go and put this boy in the bath and then get him to bed. Chrissy, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you. It's really been a pleasure.
And if ever I'm back in Nashville, I'll holler at you too.
Yes, please. For sure. I would love that. Yeah, I would love that. Or LA, because I'm going back and forth. So you got a place to stay either way. Either place.
Sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
LA, come on. Or Nashville,
yeah, come on.